sound pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay, great. If we can have like just a little bit dimmer lights for a minute, or half.
We can turn.
Entertainment.
Okay. Maybe like one more little one. Maybe a little bit more. No, it's a little too much.
Where is the other one? There we go.
Turn that one off.
Okay, that's good. That, yeah.
Turn off the little one.
No, I'd like a little bit more like than that.
A little more like that.
People should be able to see these flowers and this stuff. And
oh, how about in the middle? You want the middle one?
Okay, good, perfect.
And turn the other ones off or not?
Up to you. I don't know if that
that's
was
okay.
To be good. Yeah. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of a sigh time to start. This is going to be getting us focused and into the moment. And you'll probably want to keep your eyes open, actually, at first. But if you feel like closing your eyes, that's fine, too. So let's start by taking a few moments to get really centered and fully present. We're going to focus on this very moment. No past, no future. Gaze upon some of the objects around you, including maybe these flowers that Vicky was so nice to bring to us. But as you're looking, don't label, don't judge, don't tell stories, just look. The quieter you are upstairs, the more room you're going to make for larger parts of yourself. Deepen your perception to sense the energy and intent behind the objects. Bring as much of your awareness into this room as you can. Realize that we are collectively creating this environment. Our inner selves are doing a perfect job of the mechanics of creation for us. Thank you to our inner selves for doing all the creation math such that we can direct and enjoy this most vivid and enjoyable experience. Feel all of the magnificent souls that are gathered here. Realize that here, at this moment, are all the other probable Seth conferences going on as well. Maybe some of them are up at that $10,000 place. Maybe in some realities, the Seth conference actually didn't take place. What's going on with some of your probable selves? Are they wearing something different today? Are they sitting somewhere different? Maybe they actually stayed home. Reach out sideways to them as well. All of us are here at one level or another. Reach up with your consciousness and invite your multidimensional soul to join us. Invite it to look out your eyes and all of your probable selves' eyes upon this wonderful cosmic multidimensional event. Invite them to share as much energy as we can handle towards our own total health, growth, enlightenment, love, and joy. Thank your entity for this wonderful opportunity for your unique life at such a special place and time on Earth. Go ahead and take a moment if you want to express any special intent or ask him questions. Okay. Keeping that sense of spaciousness, focus yourself back on this room, this probable Seth conference, this probable Michelle, and we'll talk a little bit more about this dream we call life, and our lives within our dreams. Everybody feeling good? I'm very excited and honored to have the chance to speak to you today. As many of you know, I've been a lifelong lucid dreamer. Lucid dreaming is a state of consciousness where you can bring a portion of your waking self into the dream world and operate consciously in the dream state. Your imagination is your only limit for what you can do from within the dream world. For example, you can create or experience anything that you desire. You can observe with great clarity your dreams. You can explore the so-called astral realms or operate within framework two. You can have out-of-bodies from within the dream state. And you can access and interact with a lot of different parts of your being. Lucid dreaming is a profoundly spiritual, invigorating process. In and of itself, a lucid dream is a wonderful thing. I believe my experimentation with lucid dreaming has actually trained me in conscious creation, both in and out of the dream state. More and more, I'm taking the skills that I learn in lucid dreaming and applying them in my daily life. I call this lucid living. This is a way of being in which you are fully in the moment. You know you are creating. You can sense, even touch, almost psychically, your infinite probabilities. And you can allow limitless energy through for your feeling enjoyment and your creation fuel. Now, Seth does refer many, many times to lucid dreaming throughout the material. Although he doesn't use that word or that terminology, lucid dreaming. He does talk a lot, though, about bringing the waking ego into the dream state and, of course, projections from the dream state. In all my hundreds of amazing experiences, I've stopped trying to separate what's a lucid dream and what's an out-of-body. I figure if I'm in the dream world and I don't have my body and I'm operating consciously, that's pretty much an out-of-body. I will say that there's varying levels of dream elements in a lucid dream and an out-of-body, as there's varying levels of dream elements in our daily life. Beth, can you read a Seth quote for us?
Yes.
It is quite possible to take your normally conscious eye into the dream state to your advantage. When you do this, you will see that the dreaming eye and the waking eye are one, but operating in entirely different environments. Therefore, you become familiar with depths of experience and knowledge unknown to you before. You acquire a true flexibility, an expanded awareness of your own being, and open channels of communication between your waking and dreaming realities. This means that you are far better able to utilize unconscious knowledge and also to acquaint the unconscious with your present physical situation. Such a procedure can bring you in contact with wisdom you have been denying yourself, help unify your entire life situation, and release your energy for practical everyday purposes. Even the decision to try such a venture is beneficial, since it automatically presupposes a flexibility of attitude on the part of the conscious self. Nature of Personal Reality, Session 670.
Thank you. Okay. As we just heard, Seth says that these experiences are quite beneficial and good training in flexibility and consciousness, learning to operate in our more native state of being, similar to after-death conditions. But I don't dream lucid dream because I'm getting ready for after-death conditions. I'm really not that much of a planner. I lucid dream because of the incredible sensory and spiritual feelings the adventurous experiences, the training of my mind and the self-mastery that it requires, the self-discovery it allows, and the incredible lasting benefits that each and every lucid dream leaves you with. I'm going to be talking about lucid dreaming and lucid living, but actually I'll be talking a lot about creation, because that's what lucid dreaming and lucid living are. In this talk, you might be confused at time if I'm talking about the dream world or the waking world, but don't worry about that. That's kind of unavoidable and frankly a little bit desirable. I'm going to try and loosen you guys up a little bit in terms of your boundaries between waking and sleep. Not that you guys need loosening up, which we know it's a Seth conference. I'm going to highlight 5 factors that are essential for successful lucid dreaming and successful lucid living. These 5 are awareness, intention, personal standards, which I'll explain a little bit more what I mean by that, emotions, and flexibility. We're going to start about talking about awareness. This is really our most important. Lucidity, of course, really means awareness, clarity, consciousness, being present in the moment. The moment is the point of power, of course, and we've had great talks today and yesterday reminding us of that. There's all sorts of different techniques for initiating lucid dreams. I do suggest, if you're interested in lucid dreaming and you haven't figured out how to start them yet, do get that book by Rob Wagner, and we can talk more about techniques after I'm done if you want. However, all the techniques are going to be trying to get you to become aware, to wake up within your dream. In dreams, of course, a lot of weird stuff happens. In our normal asleep dreaming state, we just accept as normal all the bizarre happenings, or if we do notice something is not quite right, we sort of explain it away in a way that keeps us asleep, keeps us unconscious. Lucidity requires that you don't explain those things away. You're paying enough attention to say, wait a sec, that really isn't normal. Something's going on here. I must be dreaming. That critical observer is what you want for a lucid dream, and that's what we want in life as well. Your observer keeps you present and stops you from falling asleep, becoming immersed for too long in the events and dreams of drama, whether asleep or awake. Now, the truth about lucid dreaming is it's not a one or zero on or off state. There's levels of lucidity. And for some of you out there that may think I've never had a lucid dream, I bet a lot of you have been very close, or what a lot of people call the pre-lucid state. There are levels of lucidity in lucid dreaming, just as there's levels of lucidity or consciousness in life. However, just like in life, the more lucidity you can maintain, the more successful and satisfying you're going to find your experience. In a lucid dream, just like lucid living, you need to check in with yourself often. The more of a habit you make it to become fully conscious, the better you get at keeping in touch with your center, the wider you can range in your experiences, the deeper you can immerse yourself in the experiences, and not lose yourself completely, not fall asleep. Having a strong sense of where you are in any moment pays enormous dividends in the waking and the dreaming worlds. Now, we're all Seth readers. We know how the world works. We know that our thoughts are determining our experience. If you're anything like me, the only place you go wrong is sometimes getting too wrapped up in those creations, forgetting to pay attention, forgetting to be present, forgetting to pay attention to our thoughts. Awareness is key. I'm going to tell you about a lucid dreaming experience from the other day. And actually this lucid dream has a big impact on what's going on here right now. I was awake for a while around 4 a.m, and that's a super time to try and have a lucid dream, because when you do go back to sleep, you're very likely to enter into REM or your dreaming sleep. I made the intention that I would ask about the Seth conference. I reviewed the last dream that I could remember having, and I imagined myself becoming awake in that dream and realizing that I was lucid. I fell asleep and I began to have a dream. It was kind of with a party and some loved ones. I dreamed as usual for a little while, and then all of a sudden, I just knew, hey, I'm dreaming, I can get lucid now. I became lucid, fully present in my dream. Everything got very crisp, vibrant, colorful, sort of more energized yet solid, as it does always in a lucid dream. I kind of looked around and I said, whoa, great, a mirror. Mirrors, TVs, pictures, and windows are really useful, at least for me, because it's easy to change locations. I flew into the mirror while saying I want to know about the Seth conference. I entered the most beautiful tunnel of light you can imagine. Maybe sort of like you'd see a wormhole depicted on a science fiction show. Beautiful lights, red, orange, and yellow. It was extremely exhilarating. It was extremely ecstatic. And I almost didn't even know if I could stand the experience, which probably after I had that thought is when it started to end. But I did sort of come out of the tunnel and I landed in a theater. And in the theater, the lights were up. There was nothing going on the stage. It was just sort of people milling around in the audience. I didn't see anyone I recognized. Amazingly, there was multiple physical versions of each person that was there. So 4 or 5 of one body, 4 or 5 of like the next body. Not exactly like clones, but more like siblings. Obvious multi-dimensional selves reference there. Was probably a little bit symbolic at that point. I started to fly around a little bit, and I felt a hand on my side. And I looked back, and there was a young man, say like about 25 years old. He had like a really sweet face, and he was right there with me flying. No, it wasn't you, Tom. So I said, I look at the guy and I say, wow, are you my guide finally? Because I've really never met any of my guides or had any recollection of anything like that. He kind of gave me like a bemused look. He didn't exactly roll his eyes, but he clearly communicated that, yes, I was his guide. And it was pretty funny that I thought I'd never seen him before. He kind of guided me around a little bit, but I did start to lose some awareness. I wasn't really sure what to do. I lost a little bit of my focus. Seth, in Seth Dreams and Projections of Consciousness, describes the three forms that we can find ourselves in. Briefly, form 1, form 2, and form 3, generally with increasing abilities, increasing access to time. Form 1 is kind of our normal dream state body. Form 2 is more of almost like an out-of-body kind of form. Form 3, Seth describes as the vehicle of the inner self. And he does say that form 3 experiences you can't really translate into physical terms. I think I went from form 3, which was my tunnel of light experience. Of course, all I really remembered was the light and the ecstasy, but no real information that I was able to take into my brain. I think from form 3 there, and then form 2, when the guide first was with me. But then I kind of went down into form one, and I started to think a little bit less clearly. I was losing a little bit of my edge and awareness. I had less flexibility and less control. I went on to have some interesting explorations of the dream world, including, you know, facing some interesting personal fears and stuff like that. But ultimately, I felt I didn't accomplish as much as maybe I could have with that lucid dreaming experience. Now is when we can bring in our discussion of intention. I didn't really have the clearest of intentions for what I wanted from that experience. All I said when I flew through the mirrors, I wanted to know about the Seth conference. So even as I say that phrase right now, I'm not even sure what exactly, what information or experience would satisfy that question. It is very important to have clear intentions for your lucid dreaming experience, as of course it is in life. We will get what we are aiming for if we hold our intentions. It can be no other way. Of course, often we fall asleep and go through our days with like no particular intention at all. So we get nothing in particular happening. Or we get particulars, but not the ones we would have wanted if we'd been intending. Of course, it's obvious how awareness still plays a really big part in this. Now, as I wrote this talk and then I went back and looked at my dream journal again, I think I probably did get some information from that tunnel of light experience, because I noticed that in my journal, I had written out the bones of this talk, and I'd actually had another talk that got scrapped, and I did a new talk based on after that lucid dream. So we're getting the post-lucid dream talk. Personal standards is also something we can introduce here, because this plays a part in this experience. I didn't have good enough standards about what I wanted from this lucid dream to keep it in an optimal state. Standards are our personal boundaries, our what is okay and not okay with us. So let's just use a simple example to explain a little bit what I mean by standards. I know, Andy, I have a drinking problem. Okay, here's a simple example. We all have some sort of set point of how hot we can physically get before we'll notice, hey, I'm getting hot, I need to take some action to cool myself off. In order to have a successful lucid dreaming life and a successful physical life, you need to keep upping your standards, your personal standards, around not just how hot you are, but some more subtle things. How conscious I want to be in each moment. How I want to feel in each moment. What activities I want to be engaging in, and what activities I definitely do not want to be engaging in. These are standards based on how far you're willing to stray from your values. This is all about values. As you guys know, I'm a life coach. I don't necessarily talk about the Seth material right off the bat with my clients, but I do get them oriented in the way that Seth tells us is going to lead to success. So the first thing I do with people, help them get conscious of their moments. Help them to start pay attention to what is going on. And two, creating standards around their values so that they are always moving more and more towards value fulfillment. Coaching really is value fulfillment in action, and like, I can't believe I actually get paid to do my dream job, which is to work with the Seth material. The great thing about standards are they help to keep us conscious. It's those standards that will wake us up when we need waking up because we've gone too far off track. So using our getting hot example, you can see that even if your body was sleeping, you would awaken to take action if you got too hot. There's a built-in boundary that will wake you up and get you to pay attention. We want exactly the same kind of standards to develop around more subtle parts of our experience. Tying your standards to your emotional state can work really well, because of course our emotions are great feedback for everything else that's going on for us. If you aren't in joy, peace, or happiness, you're probably off track in some way. You're probably losing consciousness, and you need to wake up again and get back into the present moment. Correct the imbalance. Okay, I got a kind of crazy story for you here. We're going to put this in the waking dream category. And it was really like a bad dream. And bad dreams are what happen when we don't pay enough attention to our moments. This is going to be an example of non-lucid living, not lucid living. But in the end of this series of events, I did start to get more aware. In fact, I started to get very present. And it ended up being an empowering experience on the whole. Okay, so I made pizza one night in the oven, and I had the bright idea to put fresh garlic on the pizza, which was delicious, by the way. but after dinner, the garlic smell would not go away. So I brushed my teeth. Still the garlic smell. I did all the dishes from dinner. Still the garlic smell. I changed clothes. Garlic smell. I was getting tired and I really didn't know what else to do. So I pretty much just hoped it would go away. Tried to go to sleep. But the smell did not go away. It was so bad that I finally had to imagine that I was at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, and the CIA was torturing me by putting garlic up my nose. That's one of their new enhanced, little-known enhanced interrogation techniques. So in this little fantasy, given that I was at Abu Ghraib and I was being tortured, my bed actually was pretty comfortable. And maybe I should just like get some sleep before they came back. Okay, let's insert a little reality check here. Obviously, my awareness and my standards were way off here. Okay, A, if being tortured is better seeming to you than where you're at, you might need to adjust something. B, if I was at all aware, I would not have kept going in this crazy situation. I would have known that I was in a confused state. I'm not centered, and my first step should have been to get myself centered and aligned and thinking straight. But I didn't. I finally went to sleep with visions of Abu Ghraib dancing in my head. In the morning, the smell was just as strong, if not worse. The only thing I could think of was maybe some garlic fell like behind the stove and was going rotten or something like that. So I set out to do like a deep cleaning of the kitchen. It might have been a little stronger smelling around the stove, so I took all the burners off and I was like leaning over to clean, and then it hit me. Psh, gas. It was gas pouring out of my stove, and it had been pouring out all night long. We have propane. It runs most of the appliances in the house. I always thought that propane smelled like either rotten eggs or skunk. It had never occurred to me that this horrible garlic smell was the propane. Now, I might have figured it out if my standards and awareness had been better. So here I am. Obviously, the gas has been pouring out into the house all night, and stupidly I take the dial to turn it off, which of course takes it past the sparking part. Those that have a gas stove know what I'm talking about. I went past the spark, and no, my house did not blow up. So I woke everybody up and we aired out the house, and Maybe we lost a few brain cells. Maybe I lost a lot. I don't know. I guess my body had like brushed the dial as I was using the oven the night before, and yes, the gas had been on all night. So as I got my head screwed on straight again, I couldn't imagine what this whole drama was for. Why did I create this whole big gas hell night drama situation? The way I think it had to be for some reason. So the best reason that I could come away with was I learned what the garlic smell was, that means propane. And I had, you know, 12 hours of very intense training in the propane smell. I kind of went forward that week with a little bit of an expectation that maybe something was going to happen. Maybe I did kind of create what happened next, but here goes. About a week later, I was letting the dogs out at night for their final bedtime pee-pee. And as I had the back door open, I smelled it, the garlic. It was very faint. A huge calm came over me. I'm like, okay, I think this is my moment. I'm starting to get a little bit lucid here. I'm pretty present at this point. I know I'm involved in a drama, but I kind of got a feeling I got the upper hand on what's going on here. I bring Brian over. I'm like, can you smell anything? And he's like, no, it's nothing. Let's go to bed. I'm tired. Forget it. It was thunderstorming. It was late. Brian certainly didn't want to do anything but go to bed. But I said, nope, this is something. Put your boots on. We're going outside. So we put our boots and coats on and our flashlight. We went outside, and at first we couldn't even really smell anything out there. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I am crazy. But then as I approached the huge 1,000-liter propane tank outside, I could see a little bit of a problem. There was liquid propane squirting out the top of the tank. The tank was glistening, in fact, with the liquid propane. And, of course, remember, there's a lightning storm going on right now. Lightning all over the sky right there. Lightning's a pretty big spark, last time I checked, to have around a big, giant thing of gas. But again, because I had this expectation from last week, I felt very present, very sure, was not scared, felt like I know exactly what to do. So I didn't hesitate, I didn't hem and haw, I called 911. As I picked up the phone to call, I really felt reality start to reverberate a little bit. It has been a lifelong dream element of mine, this calling 911. Usually in my dreams, I have trouble dialing or I can't dial when I get on with the people. But this time I called and I could dial and everything was great. I could talk, I could speak, I told them what the problem was, and of course they came right over. They didn't believe me at first because they couldn't smell anything, but of course upon observation, they saw the problem, they turned off the valve, everything was fine. In the morning, the gas repair man came and we figured out what had happened. Lightning had struck our fence line, which is a metal fence, and the spark had come down the fence line and blown kind of like, it almost looked like a bullet hole in the copper wire where the gas comes out of. So that had been the first spark. And so then the gas started to go like this and was just, you know, waiting for another spark for something really dramatic to happen. That or losing a lot of propane, which is very expensive. The gas man, of course, confirmed that like propane is normally pretty safe, but like you would not want a whole bunch of liquid propane on top of your tank in the middle of a lightning storm. That's a dangerous situation. Now, I know I created this whole thing. It's the one and only time I ever put fresh garlic on a pizza. I haven't done it before, or probably you can tell with good reason why I never did it again. It's the one and only time I accidentally created a gas leak in the house, and that happened like 1 week before I detected the smell. If I had not had that event the week before, and then the week later came, there was no way we would have done anything but go to bed that night. So I don't know if the first drama was to prepare me for the second drama, or I created the second drama to make a nice bookend on the first drama. Who knows? But, and we talked about this a little bit this weekend. We all do have our dramas. And for whatever reason, this drama taught me to be more aware, to be more present, to really pay attention to each and everything in the present moment. Our life really is a work of art, and there is not a molecule out of place in the universe. We talked about awareness, intentions, and standards. Of course, all of this is running on our fuel of emotions. So let's talk about emotions for a sec. I've had two Seth dreams in my life, meaning dreams where Seth makes an appearance. Of course, I don't know if it's real Seth or what's going on with that, but of course, for me, these were profoundly significant spiritual experiences that I will remember my whole life. The second one I'll save for another time, but I'm going to tell you about the first one right now because it is really pertinent to talking about lucid living and lucid dreaming. So in my dream, Seth has three or four of us gathered around in kind of a living room, and he's explaining to us and having us practice so we can learn the exact right emotional wavelength for creation is the best way I can describe it. It was sort of like the exact pitch to send our desires down to get exactly what we want. In my dream, my creation wavelength felt powerful, confident, playful, excited, loving, and joyful. It is a playful certainty, a joyful knowingness that what you desire already exists and will appear at any moment. From my perspective, I feel that that creation wavelength is related closely to who we really are. It's our unique note of love that comes from our spiritual heart, our soul of souls, our note in the symphony of love that is all that is. That kind of makes sense to me because in order to create something, if it's something I want, I'm loving it. I'm loving it to bring it into my life. Now, this creation wavelength is the exact right attitude to strike if you want to have a successful lucid dream. You know you are creating, you're confident and joyful, you're absolutely unabashedly unafraid of anything. I believe that any of us practicing creating moment by moment in the lucid dreaming world, we can learn more about our own way to create, our own creation wavelength, if you feel like you find that you have one, our personal emotional attitude to strike when we want to consciously create. Now, in the lucid dream, you get immediate feedback if you're creating the way you want to or not. If you have the right attitude, you can imagine something in your mind and it will appear. If you start to get fearful, however, it will get reflected back to you. So in one of my early lucid dreams, I was flying, and I could see that there were some dogs up ahead, kind of right where I was going, and I started to get a little bit afraid about what the dogs were going to do. So sure enough, the dogs started jumping up and biting me, and it hurt too, which kind of really surprised me. But I was aware enough to get myself centered, not be afraid, just focus on what I did want, which was to fly up into outer space and explore the stars. So soon enough, I was away from the dogs and soaring into space. Experience has shown me that if I'd gotten concerned about the dogs, if I'd been fearful of the dogs, I would have been stuck with them. That reminds us a lot about life, doesn't it? Now, in case you're wondering, If you do get in a little bit of trouble in a lucid dream, it is pretty easy to wake up. But if you do run into trouble and you can't really wake up, you can call on your inner self for help, and that works every time. You'll be safely delivered back into your waking state. One of the most essential ingredients for a successful lucid dream is confidence. Confidence that you know what you intend will come to be. Confidence that no matter what happens, you are safe. Confidence that anything is possible. Confidence that you are not alone. You're on a tip of a wave of infinite, wise, loving energy. Confidence in you, yourself, and all that you are. I have a certain security in the dream world. I know I can't get hurt, so I take incredible risks in joyful exuberance, stretching myself constantly to new and thrilling limits, literally to the ends of the universe. This confident and secure sense is something that I always challenge myself to bring into the waking world. I know I am just as safe, so why would I be any less confident? Lucid dreaming is great practice in that sure inner sense of safety and mastery of any situation you might be faced with. Once you know the universe is safe, you feel much more free to create. And we talked a lot about that this weekend. This is where flexibility comes in. First of all, Seth told us, as we heard in the quote, it takes a certain flexibility and consciousness to even attempt a lucid dreaming state, because we're accepting that we don't just have two states of being, waking and sleeping. The truth is there are spectrums of states of consciousness in both the waking and the dreaming states. In the lucid dreaming world, you can try to control things, and that's you can get yourself in a little bit of trouble if you try to control too tightly. I've controlled myself right out of a dream where I got myself into a state where absolutely nothing was happening. I'm like, whoa, this is weird. I'm in the dark. Nothing's happening. I can't make anything happen. I just had to kind of wake up. Or you can go a little bit more with the flow, direct via intention, and maybe some firmer pushes as needed if you really want to create something. For me, my life operates best when I stay more towards the second. If you're nice and flexible, you can respond to the moment without judging it as good or bad, knowing that it is perfect for your own value fulfillment, and act based on what is in your spacious present right now. Bringing as much of your whole self into the moment, and therefore having as much wisdom, information, and energy available as possible for whatever you want to create and experience. You are dreaming right now. How lucid do you want to make this dream? Are you bold enough to create each moment as a reflection of who you really are? I'm going to close with one experience I had a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, as I experienced like yet another best day of my life, because that's one of my intentions right now, that every day be the best day of my life, and quite often it does come so. I was gazing out the window at the beautiful sky beyond, and I said to myself, what a beautiful dream. What beautiful dreams I've had my whole life. I've had so many different facets of my life, so many dreams, so many lucid dreams, so many moments, so many multidimensional, eternally growing snapshots of the universe. Surrounded by my loved ones, and in perfect peace and joy, feeling large portions of me entering the room and enjoying the dream with me, I felt that God was enjoying a lucid dream of planet Earth through my eyes. Thank you. Do we got time for questions, Tom?
Yes.
What, how are we doing on time?
We got 15 minutes.
Okay. So does anybody have any questions? Nancy?
Well, this is my major problem. I've had some lucid dreams, not recently though. I think the main problem is how do you shut off, or maybe I don't know if you've ever encountered this. So how do you go about doing it? Devoting yourself, if you have like shutting off the problems of like life, the regular problems of daily life, so that you can take the time to like focus on things like lucid dreaming. It seems like it's only happened to me in times that like things were going okay in my life, I didn't really have any problems, and I was able to focus on lucid dreaming, giving myself suggestions during the day for it. But as soon as things start happening, problems with work or whatever, you know, it just goes out the window. And those are the times that I really need lucid dreaming to help me solve the problems.
Okay. So that's a great question, and you sort of answered the question in your question, and you're bringing up something that's an important point that I wanted to make. If you're handling your life effectively, if you're handling your moments effectively in your life and finding that you're creating well, that is going to translate perfectly to the lucid dreaming state. So maybe it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing, but when you were having a great life, you were probably handling your moments quite well. And then that made it easy to handle moments effectively in the lucid dreaming state and start a lucid dream. Yes, lucid dreaming would be great when we're having a tough life. So you could take a two-pronged approach to that. You could work on, let me get back into my moments in my waking, and also let me endeavor to have a lucid dream, because it will also force me to get aware and into my moments.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
In your daily waking state, the more conscious and aware you are, the easier it will be for you to have lucid dreams?
Yes.
Okay, so the two are definitely tied.
Yes, they are tied, because it's learning the same skill, that skill of paying attention, being aware. The whole point of how you start a lucid dream is figuring out that you're dreaming. The whole point of how we have a great life is to remember that we're creating this life and pay attention to what's going on, and pay attention to our thoughts.
Okay, so that's what you would do to learn it. Because I'm trying to think, if I want to learn, it's not really a case of lying in bed and saying, okay, I'm going to have a lucid dream, I'm going to try. It's more like do your daily work during the day, all the time, be conscious, be aware. That's really your homework, if that's okay word to use.
That is the greatest of homework. And I believe, you know, it's played back and forth for me in my life both ways. Those are the skills that will pay off in both states. Of course, and don't let me limit anybody in any way, but if you really want to get serious about lucid dreams, you got to be having a dream journal, you got to write down your dreams, and you know, get a book with techniques like the one back there, try the different techniques. It's probably not going to work at first for you to just say, I want to have a lucid dream tonight. Let's just imagine that there is a lucid dreaming muscle we can build up in ourselves. I've built up that muscle over time, so I can say fairly often, I'd like to have a lucid dream, and I have a lucid dream that night. But at the beginning, you kind of got to go through the steps of the learning. So get a good book on techniques and try to work the techniques.
Thank you.
Michelle, I just wanted to say that turning it into a discussion on lucid dreaming and turning it into lucid living was absolutely magnificent. What a fantastic concept.
Thank you. It's really something I figured out as to like what the first half of my life meant and what this part of my life really means is taking everything I learned in the dream state and putting it into reality.
So I've been working on this for quite a while with some but limited success, and I had channeled a fellow one time help me with that problem, which which hasn't clarified it, but I really think it's a good suggestion. He says you're trying too hard. Don't see it as something that you want to do. See it as something you're doing it already, and you simply want to remember the event.
That's an excellent point, and I believe that Seth says something very similar to that somewhere in the material. We have these kinds of experiences all the time, and it may just be that we're not remembering them. So absolutely, that's a super point. In lucidity, they talk about the pre-lucid state too, and there's probably a lot of people here that can definitely remember pre-lucid kind of stuff, and that's the flying, that's the trying really hard to to find that you're leaping in the air, stuff like that. It's the really bright psychedelic colors. It's those times that you remember while you were dreaming, I said, well, this is a dream, and so you were almost there inside of the dream. So probably everybody in this room has a lot of pre-lucid stuff. You may even have fully lucid stuff, and that's a great idea. Like, it's not that I'm doing it, it's just that I'm going to start to notice when it's happening.
Any other questions?
Jane, I wanted to say to you, the first time that I ever had a big-time lucid dream, out-of-body experience, and it's just something that kick-started it for me, I spent the afternoon reading Rick Stack's Out-of-Body Experience, lying on the couch, drifted off a couple of times, finished it, and then literally drifted off holding the book, so it was right in my mind, and I read through the whole book every time he got to the belief stuff, because I was a Seth reader. I would go, I'm fine with that, no problem. But I read, you know, however long it is, 140 pages, fell asleep and instantly had an unbelievable out-of-body lucid dream. And it just took that one time for me to be able to have a sense memory of, for me, what I feel is like a whooshing in my physical body, like everything's getting bigger and vibrating, which is the one time of having that sense memory. In the future, I could just take that feeling and go, oh, that's the feeling. But it was literally just immersing myself. The belief work was all done. Yeah, I believe in that stuff. Read for 2 hours or however long it took to read the book, and then fell asleep in the afternoon, which for me was going to be a light sleep. I was going to be in and out, and that's what worked.
That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Let me throw in too that my first out of body was falling asleep with Seth Dreams and Production of Consciousness. So yeah, like read about it, study it. It's a great idea if you want it to happen.
For many years I've come to Seth conferences and I've never had the kinds of dreams we've been asked to have or that kind of thing. But today I was very tired, and interesting things happen when I'm very tired. And I was drifting in and out all afternoon. And at one point I was sitting right where you're sitting, and I was drifting off and I saw my identification card sort of flipping around. And then I woke up and I realized, what was that? So I don't know what was that, but I think it's...
That was getting lucid. That was an excellent lucid dreaming experience. You noticed something weird was happening and you're like, whoa, like what's that? You know, you were there. Yeah, that's perfect. And that's a great suggestion in there too. Anytime you can, usually being physically tired and mentally tired goes together, but if you can separate those things out and either being physically tired but not mentally tired, or mentally tired but not physically tired, you'll find you'll have some more interesting experiences.
I would like to make a comment on how I felt this whole weekend. I have flown in the lotus position lots of times, and wondered, is that part of lucid dreaming, or is that prior to lucid dreaming?
So were you like aware that you were doing it, or when you woke up you remembered it?
Good question. But today and through the weekend, I feel I've been in a lucid dream, because this has been ideal. Except when I was sitting back in the corner and somebody was speaking up front and I raised my hand and she disappointed me. She said, it wasn't you, Tom.
Oh. Yeah. Tom, you're welcome anytime if you can make it into the lucid dreaming world.
Is there any other questions?
to accessing the technique of the dream, requesting a dream from the
true dream from the Gates of Horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that employable? Do you
yeah.
Do that?
I did try that once, and I shared it at the last Seth conference. I can't really remember all the details of it, except to say that it was a very, very interesting experience. What I did is I got lucid, and then from a lucid dreaming state, I said those magic words, I'd like to have a true dream from the Gates of Horn, and it was a very exhilarating, fascinating experience. So definitely I recommend that. When you start playing with lucid dreams, you gotta arm yourself with what you wanna do when you get there. That's part of the whole intentions thing. If you don't have a plan, you're gonna get there and you might not really like how you use your time. You may end up like just kinda not knowing what to do. So I always have an arsenal of things to do in a lucid dream that I can remember. And I always make sure I have at least three, because if it goes great, you're gonna accomplish the first one, and then you're gonna wanna move on to the next one. So they can be requests, they could be things I wanna ask my inner self, things I wanna communicate. I'd like to reach a certain person that I can't reach in the physical world. So have some plans for yourself so that when it does happen, you can do some stuff. If you don't have anything planned, you can always, you know, have a wonderful time just exploring or observing your dreams. Don't let me make it seem like there's nothing to do. There's plenty to do, but have yourself a list of things that you want to do.
What happens with me when I go out a lot is that I will actually shift through probabilities and select a probability that will happen, will later manifest. And I'm just wondering if you have a similar experience?
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, that's what Seth tells us the dream world is for, right?
Oh, right.
So that's one that I've never consciously tried. I have met probable selves, but I never tried the let me try out some probabilities and select one, but I'm going to try that because
yeah,
that sounds excellent.
The other comment I wanted to make was you were talking about reading. If you really want to get out, buy as many books as you can about out-of-bodies and lucid dreaming, and that's, I'm not saying that because I just wrote a book, but that will guarantee you read it and you go, you know, it reinforces that this is possible, that hundreds of thousands of people have experienced this, and it gives a suggestion to your inner self that this is easy.
Yeah.
These people can do this. I can do this, and the next thing you know, you will be doing it. I can read a book now on out-of-bodies and be guaranteed that I will have an out-of-body soon, you know, just because it's a suggestion that happens to yourself.
Any others? Thank you very, very, very much. I have a couple of quick announcements. The clam bake is on as soon as we can.